Okay, talking about the people in your family who went on to college, and you were saying you had doctors and lawyers and all on your mother's side. Do you know when they went to college or where?
Oh, I tell you, a lot of them went to Benedict, a lot of them went to State College. Just various colleges, for me to name them out and get it accurate in line, I can't, honey.
Can you give me an idea of what year they went?
No, I don't know what year last year was. I got to think when I go to bed tonight, it'll come to me, but when I'm talking to you.
Did they go to college when you were small, or was this before you?
I had people, and now I tell you what happened to me. I had a nephew finish Morehouse College in Atlanta this past May. I sent the son that I raised to Morehouse College in Atlanta. Dr. Riley died at the age 40. Went to Morehouse College from on to others. You see, all these people I'm telling you about, that not even personally rated it, I can think on it. Morehouse College in Atlanta, Meharry in Tennessee, and all these various colleges for higher education they went. But they foundation, a lot of them, or their grandpa started sin against them.
Do you have any idea of your mother telling you who was the first person in her family to go to college?
No, because I tell you, I don't remember, because the names, and I don't remember, but I can just remember that knowing, since I can remember, some of the people on my mother's side, I always said, was educational people. You know, where we all live, we all are intelligent people, but just some with the advantage to go on and better, just like today.
How did they get the advantage?
Some of your brothers? I tell you, some of them people, their masters kept them in the house because they were the daddy and taught them. When they come out and got out, they taught others in the family. And on, it's the same today, honey.
Do you have any books at home when you were growing up?
Yeah.
What kind of books?
Catalog, Sears, Roebuck, Montgomery. When you got the ceiling in the house with them, I like to read by reading the advertisement. Spell the words, I like my ABCs off the wall. Books, and then the Bible was the mainstream in my home as a child, as long as I can remember the Bible.
Any newspapers or magazines?
I'm going on to tell you about that. The magazines, Good Housekeeping, the Birthday Almanac, what's called that? What's that almanac? Planting signs in it, and what was good for a burn, and all like that. I learned that was there, and it was very valuable at that time. And then this other little old paper, Grits, the farmer's papers, and those, they were value books. Just as valuable as a lot of the books we have to read right now, but we didn't know to make history books. We kept history by old pictures, old where we used to live, but we should have put it down in writing, but we just didn't know. That wasn't interesting to us that way, but yeah, we had books. But I can be showing you the best book that I come by was the Bible. And I still say, out of all you're learning, if you learn that and live by, you got history, you got the best book.
You went to school.
Yeah, I went to school. I finished. I went to school right up here. East End, that's the last year of school I must have been, what I got married in, 28, I believe.
Was that Blue Ridge? Do you know anything about
East
Blue
End
Ridge?
Then.
East End.
East End. Blue Ridge is over here. It ain't been over there long. This was East End. And what was the next thing? What was East End when Sylvia? See, this school Well, when I first went to Seneca School, was over yonder across town on Pine Street.
How old were you when you started?
Oh, I started the school way down yonder next to Fair Plate. When I was 4 years old, I cried to go to school. I had all these brothers, and Mom would let me go. And I'd count, the teacher would pick up, but I'd meet the children later because I could read, you know, by the picture. And the teacher let me count till I could count to 19. When I get to 19, I'd say 20, and I'd count out to 20. Then I'd start right back over, you know, and count 20, 20, 19, 20, like that. I can remember that, but, and one of the boys that finished Saint Augustine Institute was teaching. He'd go to school in the winter, and in the summer when they turned school out for vacation, he'd come down in the country, this little school called Double Spring. And all the children in the community would have that summer session. And I wasn't old enough to go. I was too lazy to walk, and my brother would carry me on his back. But I'd go, get right up the next day and cry to go. And she'd let me go with a little clean apron, wash your little feet, you know you didn't wear shoes then, only in the wintertime. But when you get your shoes, it'd be Easter, and you're getting ready for the celebration at Easter. You done went barefooted most of the winter, because you wouldn't go in there by the fire. But you'd get them patent leather shoes for Easter, embroidered dress. Lord, you dress up. Oh, them was good days.
Did any of the teachers ever teach black history?
All of the teaching was black history. You see, now this is, that's a new thing. That's why I'm here trying to remember now. If we'd have put it down, see, we had the history of South Carolina. That's what you're doing now in school. Well, that's just a few little things about, you know, the rivers and things. But to go down and teach black history, and what we've done as a black race, honey, we just now look at it. It's recorded somewhere, but it's mixed up with the white. No, if it took more pains, black and white, and made a record of it, we wouldn't have to be going over this. We'd just go get it and read it.
Did they mention any names of famous black men or women when they were teaching?
Telling you now, if anybody famous, I wouldn't know whether it's still my black and white. But sure, our race have always been pointed out by us. But being recorded as famous, no. That's why we're trying to do this now.
What about black authors who wrote poetry or who wrote books? Did they ever read to
Well, you see, no, because you see, I tell you, that's just now coming about. We had black poetry, we had black science. They are mentioned, but to be published and used for us to know our roots, no, we didn't have that. They are recorded somewhere. You know, now look at old Booker T. Washington, what he did with a peanut. They got it recorded. But the foundation of it to teach your race about it, no. You know more about it than I do. Because it wasn't a specialty to give me the roots that I got a right to be somebody.
When you were young in school, were the white schools different from the black schools?
You know, I don't know, because I wasn't over there, but I know the blacks had been, there wouldn't have been separated. You see, they had to be different. And we got no new books. The old books that they transferred from the white school, they sent them to the black school. So they, I don't know where that we could get the same reading out of them after they done used them in some time to work, if there's a page. But now these old-time people, They had something that Uncle Tim Grinton, and when they was teaching, that's my mama's uncle. They had a book. I don't know how many other books they taught. They called the Blueback Spell. Now, some of them books smoke some of the races now. Yes. When my mama was a little girl. See, her Uncle Tim, Grand Uncle Tim, just died maybe 25 years ago. But he had that Blueback Spell. When you went through that, you was educated. You know more than a lot of these people know now that's coming out of Clemson College. They had power behind it. And they pronounced it, and I think it was a dictionary, history, English. But when you pronounced that and learned through that, they tell me you was graduated. And you know, then you didn't forget it. And figures, they taught Roman numbers, I know that. You know, mostly Roman numbers. And when you got there 100 on Roman numbers, you know the mathematics. You know everything arithmetic was supposed to teach you for what you was going to do.
Where did you go to school when you were little? You started at East End?
No, I started down here at it's in Oak Corner, where I was born. And then there's a place near St. Paul. I went up here to finish. See, we moved around a lot, and you didn't never. Then when I stopped school, I come to Seneca, right below Junior College. And then they bought this school over here where the preschool is now.
The East End School?
Yeah. But we
didn't. What year did you go there to school?
It was 24, 5, and 6, somewhere, because I married.
But you'd been to school before then?
Oh, yeah, I'd been to school all my life, off and on, until I got back to 7th. I quit school in 8th grade. I was over here and got married.
So and when you first went to school, that was at Bowl Springs?
Yeah.
What was it like? Where is it located?
Well, the little school been grew up in the pines, maybe under the water now. But it was located between Townsville and Fairplay.
What did it look like?
Huh? It was a one-room school, and every grade from ABCs of Who Wanted to Cry to Go till they before the teacher knew the teacher was in that class. And sometimes it gets so crowded. The teacher would get one who had learned to read to teach here the little children class. So he'd get back if it was warm weather and pretty. They'd go out in the yard, you know. The teacher would tell the high grade child, you know, to take these children and carry them over the numbers and letters, and you could hear us singing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and A, B, C, D, E, F, you know.
How long did you go to school each year?
Well, now, when the first started, the school down there that I'm talking about, you see, that was 6 weeks. In the winter, I believe they went 2 months. When they couldn't work on the farm, they had school. But when they had work to do on the farm, you didn't have school in that thing. That's how come Seneca Institute, you see.
So you only went to school like 6 weeks during the year and then 2 months during the winter?
Yeah.
How long did you go to school each day? How many hours?
Oh, now. You just got up in the morning when you could see him walk that 4 or 5 miles and stayed so you get home by night. I don't know how many hours, honey, but I knew it'd be a long thing because we carried our lunch. You used to buy groceries and you had these buckets with lard. And my mama would make good biscuits, fried apple pies, put jam between that biscuit and butter while it's hot. And we'd you was weighted down, gave you lunch. You ate so much to eat. And look, my big brother would carry the lunch, you know, and I love when you get to the school, a lot of children, parents didn't take time. Well, now it was a race for you to take the lid off your bucket, because here you'd be crowded. And you had a lot of friends, so you could share a biscuit. But it was good. I was just going to say, in the summer, you could carry watermelon, cantaloupe, you know, you had plenty of that. You'd carry that to school, to have, like picnic fun, because you'd have recess, you'd play ball and drop the pocket handkerchief and eat.
Who were some of the teachers?
Oh, Major Alexander. I had a cousin. He was a Craig, but he owned his home here in Seneca, and he come down there. My first teacher was Clarence Holland. He went to Seneca Institute, and then he'd come down there and teach in the summer. He got a sister living now. Here she's a Miss Garrison. Miss Marie Garrison, two of his sisters, one Miss Ozella Beats, and the other one's Marie, his baby sister, Miss Garrison. Now that was before Marie's time, but her sister, oh, she young than I am, for social life, but me and her went to school together. But she's too much young than I am. She ain't young, not near 80. But she might be 81, but she ain't.
Where did your parents go to school?
My mama went to school down at the Shiloh Baptist Church in Townsville. That's where she, see, all of her activity in growing up was based around there.
Did your father go to school there also? Yeah, that
was their home. I think that's where they met.
How was their schooling different from your schooling?
I don't know if it was any different, because it was early schooling and there wasn't opportunities and provision made for them. They got, you see, just like I say, because this Uncle Tim I'm talking about was my mama's uncle. See, he taught her. That was his sister's little girl. And there was a lot of favors, which it is today. But if you got somebody in and know they're not able, then more provision can be made because we're in better condition. So I don't know if it was that much different.
What about your grandparents' schooling? Do you remember? No,
I don't know where they went to school. I don't believe they could write. They might have, I don't know.
What about other relatives, older relatives? Do you know of any of them going to school?
Not going to school, but just like I say, my mother's people could write, read and write to me, see. But not too much about on my other grandma's side. I'm sure she had people could write and read. But I wasn't, you know, up on that as I am my mother's people. Because most of these people I'm talking about now was my mother's people and still is my mama's people.
You quit school in the seventh grade in what, 1926?
Yeah.
You said to get married?
Yeah, I got married.
So you didn't graduate?
No, I didn't graduate. I got happily married for 54 years.
Did everybody have a school to go to for 12 years like it is now?
No. You see, school just moved up to 12 years lately. Why, Sylvina only went 11 years. See, my daughter...
How many years could you go to school?
We had 11 years then. Yeah, but they moved it to 12 now. The baby girl, she had to go 12.
What would you do if you graduated? What options would you have?
You had lots of options. Just like it is today. That all depends on individual. When I was in school, there was lots of, because you could work your way if you wanted to make the sacrifice and went to a higher education. There's so many fields that was open, not like it with the help an opportunity, but it was there, and a lot of people accepted it. And That you could go in nurse training. You could have gone into teaching. You could have gone into preaching. There's just a lot of fields, but now, because a lot of my classmates went on who wasn't no better financially than I was. My mother was a widow, and I've met me a good man, and I got nabbed. And I think I'm glad I did.
You said that a lot of options available. What about work in this area?
Well, now work.
Is there any work around, or did your relatives have to go, your older relatives, like your mother or your grandparents, did they have to leave the area to find work?
They had no way but to walk. Well, a few of them did, yeah. People back even. My granddaddy left and went to Little Rock, Kansas. There was a gold rush or something out there that a lot of local people, black people.
Do you know when that was?
Back in way back young. I don't know. Nearly 200 years ago. But what I'm trying to say, there have always been people immigrating. After they were free, a lot of them went different places, looking for work. Look what families pulled up. Some of them got out on the way. They had no transportation, covered wagon, maybe two families walking, and a lot of them, the family, Dr. Sharp's dad, Uncle Joe Sharp, was going to Abigail. Most of these people died at sea. Dr. Sharp stayed. He was a young boy. And that's how come he finished Seneca Institute, him and one or two of his sisters. But two or three, and they said he didn't have no better looking for Abigail. He didn't have a soul come from Abigail because his one. Thinking baby and daddy was both freedom in this state, but he wanted to go home to Abigail. Got on that ship boat, and they took sick. And died like flies. And not only that, they're just going from Mississippi to Tennessee, and that's how come we got so many of our roots scattered from one state and one part. They went looking for better. You know, they thought they'd find better. And some of them did. Chicago, we got a lot of Southern Negroes. Millionaires in Chicago, I can't name them, but they left here looking for better.
How often did these people come back home?
Well, some of them got back, I don't know, and then some of them never returned.
Did any of them work for the railroad?
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. That was the opportunity. Railroad, you see, they used to have to keep the railroad, and a lot of people could get the men folks. Would get jobs on the railroad.
What kind of jobs?
You know, cleaning the railroad off. And then later years, Mac had an uncle, his first cousin, Jim Williams, come through here, worked from Atlanta, between Atlanta and Washington, for a number of years as a mail, you know, kept salting the mail on the train. They got better when they improved or left and was qualified. They seem to reach the job that they qualified for, just like it is now. If you prepare yourself and qualify, you can kind of almost demand a job.
What kind of jobs did the black women have?
Well, they washed, they ironed, they cooked, and those that had skill enough, if there was anything better, they were promoted. They was from slave labor. Anything that they went and got a little salary were better than slave labor. So there was lots of opportunities for them. There's a lot of black women was promoted from, you know, if they could read, they could be good nurses for children and got what they call good pay. Just like my job. When I retired, I tell you, I was making more in one day than I had worked for a month.
How did the young black people earn their money?
I'm telling you now, when the opportunity come, we applied ourselves, just like they're gonna do now. And it can get better if they apply themselves.
What did the teenagers do to make money when you were growing up?
Honey, we picked cotton. I could pick 400 pounds of cotton in a day. And you, well, I have picked it for 50 cents. I have picked it for a dollar. And then I have picked it for 33 cents. And the teenagers who want to apply, you know, just like I say, they've always been people. It didn't want to apply and didn't want nothing, always looking. Well, now, we don't discuss that as history too much. But we're going to always have it as long as the world stands. But the people that want to apply, they was always provision, not opportunities, not help. They had the advantages and disadvantages.
Where did you spend your money as a teenager? What kind of places did you shop at?
We carried it to church. You could give a nickel in the church on Sunday morning. The Sunday school class took a penny. And you didn't have a whole lot of play. You wanted a little recreation. Your mama, your home was decent to what you had. You'd get your little friends and you'd make a churn ice cream. Freeze that ice cream and all of you come and sit there and play, blow the harp. Blow the harp, make your music, dance. We danced. No need to say we were so nice, but that was a part of moral character. You could have your entertainments in your home. You get to school, you'd have a box supper. You fix a nice box, the girl would fix it, the boys would bid on it. You know, they'd put the boxes up, and then that money was used for crime, which the state wasn't furnishing for black schools or no schools like they should or do now. But you could use it, the school wanted to put on something or do something, you'd fix up your box, they'd call it box supper. Why, you, the young lady, you'd fix a nice box and then they'd put them up bid. Miss Maxwell Williams box. Well, Lord, if the boys like me, they bid, you know, 25 star, 10, 15 cents. 20 of me get up to a dollar. While he sold. While he is wanting it to sell so he'd get a chance to eat the supper with me. Yeah, they had ways to spend their little money, and it was wholesome and a good time. That's what I can say.
Where did your family shop? When they needed to buy things, what store did they shop
in? Well, that's what I'm saying. You see, now, my mama and dad, they used to come to Seneca. Now, there at the store, Miss Vic Dobbin, there was 6 months different in my mama's age and Miss Vic Dobbin. Miss Vic Dobbin was the games. And she had this store. You sold everything in that big store. Clothes, farm tools and everything. Why, they went there.
Was she black or white?
She's white. Oh, she sold everything there. And Players My Hat, they was white. That was another big store in Townsville. And they had it through the years, you see, the slave.
Did your family have to pay cash or did they have credit?
I'm going to tell you now. Fall of the year, when you sold your cotton and had your cash, then you'd go there and you could buy anything, and maybe you had cleared $100. You could spend $50 or $75 for clothes, sheets, stuff to make quilts. Now that was for the winter. And during the summer, if you needed clothes, dry goods, you had a standard cash. You could go there and get what they call allowance, you know. You buy so much on credit and pay off in the fall when the crockers get. Then for the whole farm, the G.W. Genlett, the W.P. Neiman's wholesale stores here in Seneca, they open up liens to the farmer. They could buy the Joanna, that's the fertilizer. They could buy it. They had to have groceries, tubs of lard, barrels of flour. You got that too. with your crop over. The end of the year, you paid off something. That's what made the thing bad. A lot of
Did they buy their own clothing? Did you say your family bought clothing or made their clothing?
Well, they bought and made it, but you had to get the material to go home and sew. But boots of cloth, you could buy a boot of outing. That was to make you under warm things. A boat of sheeting, make your pillowcases and sheets for your bed. You know, they buy cloth like that. Well, we buy yards, but if your family is large enough, I don't know how many yards is on the boat, but say, well, all right, now, how do you want, how much out? Well, here's a boat with so much. Well, you get that if you could use it, you know, whatever it took to punish them. And you see, that still wouldn't go but 5 cents and 4 cents a yard at that time. Of course, which was high for the amount of money you had.
You said your family raised a lot of their food, like potatoes and vegetables.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Honey. What did you have to buy, food-wise?
Oh, now, for us and most good working families, we had nothing to buy but sugar, coffee, and the lettuces, you know, fish, fresh, big fish. Because my brothers went to Saint and caught fresh water, a little fish. But to come to Seneca to buy our thing, candies, oranges,